the controversy surrounding Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes and Candace Owens and Megyn Kelly. And now the Heritage Foundation continues to just boil over. And it's a great big mess. Wall Street Journal, by the way, has a piece up, How the Heritage Foundation Lost Its Way, written by Jason Riley. You see him a lot on Fox News. But there is no doubt about it, and we've talked about this for quite some time. Before all of this blew up onto the scene, I was warning you folks about this odd anti-Semitism strain that was working its way through the Republican Party. And there's a lot to unravel. Here to help us figure it all out is the Executive Vice President of the Coalition for Jewish Values, Rabbi Yaakov Menken. Rabbi, good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I have to ask you, because of all the things that could go wrong in the Republican Party, I did not have this one up very high on the radar, but apparently this is a very dangerous thing that's happening, and you've got a lot of, especially young conservatives, that hold a very contrary view to the nation of Israel right now.
That's very true, and it's very sad. It's alarming because people are using the state of Israel as a proxy, and I can prove it easily because twice I have been accosted myself with shouts of "Free Palestine," and what have I to do with the government of Israel, the state of Israel? I'm a Jew who lives in Baltimore. But it's that those first three words there, I'm a Jew. That's the reason. They're just using it as a proxy. It's very old. It's very ugly. You know, when you call it a strain of anti-Semitism, the facade changes, but the underlying lies are all the same.
No, I think it's a fair point you're making. And again, I'm just not understanding the platforming of these people. And it's, you know, again, I have a responsibility as a radio show host, as a TV host. I'm doing background on all of my, you know, guests and who's coming on the show. So I'm not understanding why, for example, Tucker, when he sat down with Nick Fuentes, that was a very friendly interview. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the entire thing, but it was a very friendly interview compared with the attack style interview that he did with Senator Ted Cruz. What do you think is going on here?
Well, it's absolutely. When Tucker Carlson wants to push back, he knows very well how to push back and how to have that sort of interview. But when he wants to platform somebody and make ridiculous ideas sound reasonable, that's when he does fluff. And we have to understand, you know, it's not just Tucker Carlson having Fuentes on his show. It's what Tucker Carlson himself is saying. He's echoing the left-wing and Islamist talking point that Israel is committing genocide. You know, Israelis, the folks who disabled the entire Iranian Air Force in 72 hours, we all know that if they wanted to commit genocide in Gaza, it'd be over. Gaza would be a sheet of glass. In fact, a lot of other countries, if they've been attacked the way that Hamas attacked Israel, it'd be a sheet of glass. That's it. All over. Done. No more complaints of genocide because the genocide's over and done with. Except that was all mythology to begin with. The whole thing is just, oh. You know, and by the way, we can go back to the Bible with this, and we can find the biblical models that teach us that the anti-Semite will always believe that whatever Jews own is somehow stolen, ill-gotten gain, fraud, deceit. And that comes with this parallel notion that the Jews feel that they're superior, they get to take advantage of everybody, they get to be, to desecrate all that they hold holy. And you know what? I just detailed to you everything that Carlson, Fuentes, and Owens combined have to say about Israel, Jews, and the Middle East.
Well, and again, my big issue with what happened on October 7th is, it's conjecture here, but I'm wondering if the United States told Israel to ease up and not go all in. And I think that was the problem because it prolonged everything. I think there should have been a ferocious and immediate response, and it should have been shock and awe. because we would have done the exact same thing had something like that happened at our border, Rabbi.
Oh, it's 100%. If Mexico had attacked Texas and, you know, proportionally caused tens of thousands of casualties in southern Texas, yeah, Mexico would be a sheet of glass. No question about it. The real problem is, I mean, as much as I do blame the previous administration for their complete moral vapidity about the whole conflict, you also had the Israelis saying, yeah, but there are hostages there. We have a problem. Those are our people. Those are our family. And so for 2 years, as Hamas held on to the hostages, maybe we'll understand how stupid the genocide accusation is. Hamas could have released those hostages at any time. There's never been a genocide in history where the so-called victims are the ones who decide when the genocide ends. That's not how it works.
No.
It's never been how it works.
No, of course not. Yeah.
And so that's it. That's the whole story right there. It's a completely asinine, imbecilic version of history that only makes sense when you believe that the Jews are inherently a threat. Doesn't matter what the logic is. Doesn't matter what reality has to say. The Jews are a threat. We're going to blame the Jews. They're trying to rescue the hostages. Blame the Jews. Hamas is hiding behind civilians, putting its tunnels underneath civilian buildings. Blame the Jews. The Israelis are managing to have the lowest civilian casualty rate compared to combatants in any urban conflict. Doesn't matter. Blame the Jews. The lowest casualties overall of any major conflict in the last 5 years. Doesn't matter. Blame the Jews.
I mean, it's appalling. And, you know, I've long been a supporter of the nation of Israel. And look, just because, and you may not agree with everything Benjamin Netanyahu does, now that is not anti-Semitism. That's a logical, legitimate, you know, political disagreement. But to go out there and to say that Israel, for some reason, doesn't have a right to defend herself against these enemies, that's just simply outrageous. And I would challenge anybody living in a border city, how would you like it if every single night you had missiles being fired from Mexico into your community, into your backyard? The American people would not stand for it. And again, Israel, and Rabbi, correct me if I'm wrong here, Israel never asked the United States to send over personnel, to send over soldiers to fight their war. Israel is more than capable of defending herself and with the, you know, with the forces that Israel has. So again, none of this makes sense to me at all.
It's one story built on another, and you're absolutely right. The Israelis are the one situation where America gets to protect America's interests. I mean, you know, the Twin Towers came down for a reason. The Arab terrorism will not stop with the Jews. It's not only aimed at Jews. Right now, you want to talk about a real genocide going on? Look at the situation for Christians in Nigeria. That's a real genocide, and it's Boko Haram. It's Islamic terrorism. There you go, that horrible thing we can't talk about. But, you know, the Israelis are the one situation, unlike Germany, unlike Japan, where America gets to protect American interests without boots on the ground. South Korea, for example. The Israelis do all the work. And by the way, you know, for all they talk about Israeli aid, et cetera, the amount of intelligence and the actual real-life testing of weaponry that the Israelis do, that the Americans do not have to risk their own lives to do, is hugely valuable. This is a really dual, mutually beneficial relationship that is constantly mischaracterized by people with a hostile agenda. If I could, there's one thing you said about, you know, us being able to criticize Israel, criticizing Netanyahu policies. That is something, you know, I have more thought-out criticisms of Israeli policy. Of course it's not anti-Semitic. I have more stuff than all the right-wing and left-wing anti-Semites combined, because again, all they have is those talking points.
No, it's a fair point. But again, you know, the objections coming from many in the conservative movement now, it's not rooted in a simple disagreement. This is flat-out Jew hatred in many instances, and there is no place for that in the conservative movement. And real quick, before we let you go, the Heritage Foundation, I think a lot of people are bewildered. I was reading in the Wall Street Journal that the hits they are getting, I mean, I think so many evangelical Christians have now pulled their support. A number of people in the movement who are supportive of Israel have distanced themselves from Heritage. How do we fix that, Rabbi?
Well, you know, the thing that I just spoke about this, you know, having more thought out criticisms than do Carlson, Fuentes, etc. Kevin Roberts started this firestorm with a video that started by saying Christians can criticize the state of Israel without being anti-Semitic. That's an irrelevant truism. It proved that he's not listening to what critics of Tucker Carlson are saying. He wasn't trying to understand. He was just saying, I'm going to defend Tucker Carlson because he's my friend, and I'm going to throw ridiculous accusations at the people who are criticizing Tucker Carlson. After all the venom that Carlson spews about Israel and the Jewish community, he says that the people, as in Kevin Roberts, says that it is those going after Tucker Carlson who are a, quote, venomous coalition. Sorry, in context, that was a dog whistle to anti-Semites. It's just not appropriate. What are they going to do about it? They really have to, either Roberts has to do a wholesale apology and change course completely, or they have to let him go.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Suffer damage. This is like Harvard last year. This is destroying a storied organization's reputation in a year.
All right, Rabbi, we've got to leave it there, and we appreciate your great work. We'll get you back on soon. By the way, Rabbi Menken represents 2,500 Orthodox rabbis, and he offers moral clarity from a conservative faith perspective, and we like to hear that. He also serves on President Trump's advisory board of religious leaders to the U.S. Religious Liberty Commission, and you see him all the time on Newsmax, and we'll get you on the Newsmax show as well. Rabbi, what an honor to have you with us today. Thank you again.
Thanks so much for this.
All right, there you go, Rabbi Yaakov Menken, and dropping a little bit of truth to the culture right now.